Thought for today. As I seek everything in life, I will get it. As I seek everything in life, I will get it. As I seek everything in life, I will get it. Now, what does it mean to you, everything? What does everything mean to you? You see, a lot of times everything to us means the human physical experience, and that's lovely. That's lovely to have the physical human experience be ours, and be ours with a perfect body, perfect mind, perfect spirit, be ours with a perfect attitude, be ours with abundance, with harmonious relationships, be ours with peace on earth. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't it be something? Wouldn't it be wonderful to have peace on earth? Oh, I think that'd be so neat to have peace on earth. How do we get peace on earth? How do we get peace on earth? Well, we speak our word. Now there is peace on earth, and it began with me. Ah, that's kind of a simple way to put it. Okay. Well, let's look at abundance. You know, now there is abundance in this world, and it began with me. I'm the source. Now there's harmonious relationships in this world, and it began with me. Let's just take a Bible reference here. Seek ye first all things, and the kingdom of God will be added unto you. You've been that route. Right now, you're seeking first all things, and having the kingdom of God be added unto you. I want a perfect house. I want a perfect relationship. I want perfect food. I want a perfect body. I want... And then when you get these things, then you'll have time to meditate. You'll have time to give thanks to your divine self for delivering these wonderful gifts to your back door or front door, wherever you get gifts. Think about it. Just think about it real seriously for a moment. How much have you fulfilled that statement that Jesus gave us? Seek ye first all things, and the kingdom of God will be added unto you. It sounds good, doesn't it? Of course, it's backwards. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. When we seek first to listen to that inner self, when we seek first to find out who we are, then everything we need to be who we are, we will have. Ellen and I were talking about Stefan and Martin and so forth, and Gertrude, and how childlike they are in many beautiful ways. They're very innocent, very open, very gentle, very beautiful, and yet they're very human. They're enjoying all the human experiences that life has to offer. Basically, they're seeking first the things in life, and then wanting the kingdom to be added unto them. And in their search, in their looking, what are they doing? They're looking in the outer. Now you say, well, that's not fair to say that about somebody. No, it's not fair to say it about somebody, but that's what the case is. Now, is Gertrude bad by doing this? Yes, she's very bad. Is Stefan bad? Is Martin bad? Are we bad when we do this? Yes, we're very bad. Because we're seeking first all things and wanting the kingdom to be added. Now, when Gertrude remembers to say, what three little words? Ellen?
I like me.
When Gertrude remembers to say, I like me, she feels on top of the world. When you, who are here in the monastery, remember to say, I like me, you feel on top of the world too. You walk around here, I like me, I like me, I like me, and you're singing and so happy, and you feel on top of the world. Why? because you're using your intuitive inner self. Now, what is even a more powerful statement? Anyone want to say it?
I'm God, God I am.
I am God, God I am. There, we are speaking to our intuitive self. When you know who you are, 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 you got a broken record here? When you know who you are, you will know who to listen to. You understand? When you know who you are, you'll know who to listen to. Now, are you supposed to listen to me because I am your sharer and your teacher, your whatever's? Or are you supposed to follow what I say and listen to yourself? Are you supposed to listen to the divine within you that's talking to you all the time and you don't pay much attention to it? And you know why we don't pay much attention to it? Because we're so busy with the outer world. We're so busy with seeking things, seeking conditions, seeking right action. Let me ask you a question. If you say to yourself, I am God, God I am, that's a pretty powerful statement to make. Jesus said, you're God. But if you say, I am God, God I am, can God have any limitation? Oh, yes. God can have any limitation God wants. If God wants to say, I am sick, God is sick. And there's nothing wrong with being sick. But Herb, how can you say God is sick when God is perfection? Yes, God is perfect all. There is nothing created in this universe that is not God. Are you going to tell me that there's something that exists in the universe that God did not create? God created it all. The devil and the good, the bad, the evil, the good, whatever. Okay now. You as God may be saying, I am sick. Whereas the universal ideal says, I am well. I am perfect. I am that I am. See, the universal does not limit itself by any one condition. It just is its archetypal self, its absolute self, its perfect self, you see? But you and I, we go around saying, I'm God, God I am, and then we act the lesser part of God as we understand it. In the archetypal, in absolute, could God be limited in any way, as well as in the relative, could God be limited in any way? Why is it there are some people who are extremely wealthy? Extremely wealthy. They are outrageously wealthy, like our friend Bill Gates. Why? Why is somebody like that? Why is Buffum so outrageously wealthy? And you don't hear too much about him, because all he does is invest his money. Bill Gates creates. Bill Gates is, he lives. And that's good too. Bill Gates lives his ideal, and part of the ideal was that abundance would be there to take care of anything he wanted to do, and he had superabundance. Buffum, he was an investor from day one virtually, and he invested well, wisely, in stocks and bonds, and he is exceedingly wealthy. He doesn't do anything with his wealth. Oh, he has his charities and things like that, but he doesn't do anything with his wealth. His wealth possesses him because he has to take care of it. Now, does God have to take care of wealth? If God wants to, God has to do it. But God is wealth. God is the allness. God is the totality of the universe. As I seek everything in life, I will get it. God is the totality of the universe. So whenever you as God speak your word, you have what you are. The power of the universe vibrates to manifest it, or whatever you want to say. You are whatever already is. Now, answer this question. Would you like to have Bill Gates' billions and have to have accountants and bookkeepers and tax people work with the billions to make sure that everything is done copacetically, honestly, with the government? Or would you like to have the ability, as God, to whatever idea comes to your mind, it is complete and done? Would you like to think, okay, I want to create a new software that is going to work in the internet business very beautifully, and I want it to do this, 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 this. And then, click, there it is. And you give it to the world, and you say, okay, now I'd like to create this idea. And now I'd like to create this idea. Just because you're having fun being a creator. You're having fun being a creator. Do you really care about having money in the bank? Do you really care about having assets? Or are your assets your ideas in your mind? And when you have an idea, boom, you're instantly wealthy. Why is it that the great, and the truly great, never had much money? Michelangelo was the most magnificent painter perhaps the world has ever known. Certainly the most prolific. He worked in many medias. He had very little money. He had only enough money to live in a small garret by himself. He didn't have money to raise a family. He didn't have money to maintain a villa outside of Rome. He didn't have the respect and love of the people. He didn't go to parties at night. He didn't go dancing. He didn't go whatever. He lived for his art. He loved his art. It was his nature to express. And to express, the paint was always there, the brushes were always there, the canvas was always there. He didn't have to buy the canvas, he didn't have to buy the paints and brush, he didn't have to buy anything. It was all there, all paid for by the operation. His associates were paid for, everything. But he had very little money to take home, and he didn't need it or want it. He wouldn't know what to do with it. He didn't have a need for clothing. He just wore old clothes. Oh, he perhaps had a good suit. But he had no need for any of these things. He had everything right out of his consciousness, right out of his mind, the wonders came forth. You see? He listened within. Oh, he listened within. You can be sure of that. No man could create the beauty that he created, the perfection that he created, unless he listened within. Many of the other painters that we have seen who do modernistic paintings and other things like that, you can't understand the painting very well. They listen within too. And we buy their confusion. And that's fine. But you can have everything in life that you want. You don't have to have great wealth unless you want great wealth. Warren Buffett loves to play with great wealth. He loves to play with the stock market. He loves to show how his thoughtfulness and his intuitiveness buys worthy stocks and bonds. He loves to do that, and that's great. There are many other people who like to work with paper. And that's what they're working with, is paper. They're working with ideas. Now, Buffett has all of his money in stocks and bonds, and he's worth all this stuff, but he doesn't have to pay anything on it until he brings it out and puts it into another form. And so, in fact, he is probably very close to being untouched by it. And many others are the same way. You'd like to have everything you'd like in life. You say, well, money would make it kind of a happy thing. Would it? Would money make it a happy thing for you to do whatever you want to do? What do you want to do? I look at Irene, and Irene wants to do her dream, and that's her personal dream. And so to do her dream, she wants to have time to do it, where she can have free time. So she has a job, or she will have a job. Last Friday she should have known about it, but she'll have a job which takes a little bit of her time, maybe 2 or 3 hours a day, And the rest of the day is totally hers to do anything she wishes. Anything. And so she's going to follow her dream during the rest of that time. But she'll be maintained. She'll have a lovely home to live in. She'll have a responsibility that'll bring her enough money to do the things she wants to do. But she's following her dream. Her dream is not going out and earning money. Her dream is to have time to do her dream. And she has established what her dream is. She told me what her dream is, and we work on her dream. The dream is what she wants to do. Now, Stefan, on the other hand, he's looking at many opportunities to work, many opportunities. And you see, Stefan, I'm raising my finger. Stefan is more interested in what the job is than the free time the job will give him. So therefore, the job to Stefan is the thing and not the dream. Stefan too has a dream, which is his personal choice. And we talked about it too. And that's where he's going. But he's going for his dream in a way that he would like to have free time to work on it, but he's picky-choosy about what he's going to do in his work time. Now, if he would just speak his word, I now have the perfect job, that I work 2 hours a day, or I work 2 days a week, or whatever you want to work, and I have sufficient income to take care of all my... No other details. The perfect job would be there. Irene spoke her word. The perfect job was there before she was ready for it. But she went to take it, and she went on to the next one. Stefan is working on it. He's opening his heart to his perfect job that will give him time to do the things he wants to do. Now, as I've said, anyone here at the monastery can do the same thing, but that's not true. That's not true. Anyone here at the monastery has a very deep program that they're involved in. And this program is designed to see how dedicated you are to yourself. You see, when a child knows how to behave, when a child knows how to have good manners, when a child knows how to do the necessary things for a child to do when he grows up, when a child is grown, he will use those talents that he has learned, and he will be a very effective being. If the child did not learn the rights of others, if a child thinks that any property he can have and take, he'll get in trouble. If a child thinks he doesn't have to cooperate with the rules of the society he's in, he'll get in trouble. He can create himself in a society where the rules are his, as we heard on that smoke signal last night. They live on their Indian reservation, and they are not responsible to the rules of the United States. They're another country. Each reservation is run virtually by the Indian Council themselves, and they set up their own rules, and they set up their own program. And their program and rules do not have to correspond to the United States, to the federal government. And essentially, they live in another country, in another world. But what have they done with the rules? Have they made the rules so that they were harmonious with what their natural penchant is as an Indian? What is the natural penchant of an Indian? What does an Indian naturally want to do? Well, what they think an Indian naturally wants to do. He wants to go out and hunt and fish and do things like that. Well, many non-Indians are hunters and fishers. Many non-Indians are very successful in carrying out this activity. And Indians are an agrarian society. The majority of the Indians were agrarians. They had farms and ranches, and not ranch, but they had farms and crops that they grew. And you see, the Indian has made it its direction to say, we don't want the control of the government over our reservation. Well, they're in a fighting mode all the time. If instead of that, they would say they want to cooperate and work harmoniously with the world that they live in, with the 21st century, then they would do that. You see, if you truly are an Indian, and I don't mean that in any negative sense, if you truly are an Indian, you will, and you truly want to live your heritage, you will not have cars, you will not have telephones, you will not have any of the new things if you're living in your heritage. The Amish people are doing that. They do not have cars. They have horses and buggies. Of course, where did the horses and buggies come from? Jesus had no horses and buggies. They had chariots, perhaps, in those days, but no horses and buggies. And so, you see, where do we play our game? From what standard? From what bank? I say to you, play your game from this standard. Play your game from listening within yourself to what is your real goal and motivation for yourself. What do you want to do? Let's forget the fact you want to be a painter or a musician or a writer. You want to be a mother, a father. You want to be a person who is exceptional in publishing or marketing or whatever. And instead of all those things, you say just one thing. This sounds terrible, I know. Just say, I want to be me. Whoever your me is. You want to be yourself. You want to listen to that divine person within yourself that does speak to you. And as Ingeborg was describing, sometimes not necessarily in words, but in an inner conviction, in an inner knowingness. And when you listen to this inner self, you will walk a happy, contented, fulfilled life. Not because you're great or not great, not because you're doing something significant in the community or not, but because you're being yourself, what you really are. That's why we teach, be yourself and have fun. Who are you? Are you a human being? Are you a divine being? Are you a glorious expansion, the expression of everything that you understand is good and beautiful in the world? Or are you the miseries of the earth? Are you a sinner? Are you a faulty person, something that should never have been born? Well, you were born. So that's out of the way. And everything that's born is like God created, good and very good. So you created this body, you created this mind, you created this world you're living in, and you created it to do one thing. One thing is all you have created this world for. Who can tell me what that is?
To be myself.
To be yourself and have fun, exactly. That's why you created this. Now, why would anyone who creates something to be themselves and have fun in create misery in it? Why would anyone create it difficult to get through? Why are there secrets, occult secrets, that are not available to the normal person? Why do the magicians have their power to do their legerdemain? Why is it that some people have great talent and others seemingly don't? Well, let me tell you, I've got the answer to all of it. When you created yourself on this planet Earth, you created yourself with all that you are. And you created yourself with one conundrum. One conundrum. Maybe five, but basically one. I'll rattle them off. Who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? Who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? Interesting, huh? Who am I? Who am I? Who are you? Who are we? Huh? We're God. And we have told ourselves we are not God. You go in the world and they'll tell you that's blasphemy to say you're God. Say that you're good. Say that you like yourself. Say you're number one. Say you're wonderful. But don't go saying you're God. Because if you say you're God, that means you're the creator of your world. That means you're creating. Well, when you like yourself and you're number one, you're creating the world too. You see, they're afraid to go that next step. The next step of saying, I'm God, because, not that it's blasphemy, but what it is, it's responsibility. Once you say you're God, now, hey, as God you could do anything, but would you? You say, I want to be happy, I want to have fun. Would you create anything that wasn't happy and wasn't fun? Well, not if you're God. And you were saying, I'm going to be myself and have fun. Now, would you create somebody else in charge of your life, in charge of your world? Not if you're going to say, I'm going to be myself and have fun. You're in charge of your own world. What do you want out of life? What do you want to get? If you listen within, in your introspection, you will hear. Now, Herb, that is just a cop-out. It is just a stupid statement to say, if we'll listen within, we'll hear what we want to hear. That's what every religious says. That's what every person in psychology says. That's what they're all saying. It's, you know, listen within, listen within. Well, hey, where did Michelangelo listen for all the beautiful ideas that came to him for the paintings he did? Where did Victor Hugo listen for all of the beautiful writings he did? Where did Shakespeare listen? Oh, well, it wasn't Shakespeare. Forget the nonsense. Everyone is going to want to take away the standards by which other people live. Let's just leave to Shakespeare or to whomever created all of these Shakespearean plays. Truly, they were masterpieces. They were masterpieces. And to all outward expression, Mr. Shakespeare was a very ordinary man. Not extraordinary at all. I have the same experience. I go to groups of people, and each of you are there with me. And so with these groups of people, you're discussing philosophy, and you're talking about this and that, and you say, Herb, say something. Herb, tell them. Herb, you know, show them how brilliant you are. Herb, go ahead, show off, you know. Shine a little bit. And I say to myself, no way. They are dilettantes. They're not interested in what we have to say. They're only interested in saying what they want to say. And that's fine. To those who have ears and eyes and sensitivity, I will share. But to those who do not, those who would trample on that sensitivity, I am silent. I do not speak to those who will not listen, nor do you. When anyone disagrees with you, you say, hey, that's interesting, why do you disagree? Agree with your adversary quickly, and then get them in the conversation. And sometimes you can bring them around to understanding what they really believe, and sometimes you can't. But be yourself and have fun. As I seek everything in life, I will get it. Now, what to you is everything? What to me is everything is my divinity, is my communication with the infinite. What is the biggest field that is being developed in the world today? First, they were trying to demonstrate communication. Monkeys and dogs communicate by barks and howls and so forth. Early man communicated by symbols. Hieroglyphics were written with symbols. Throughout all the time, communication was the great need. Man had to communicate with man. And always there were those priests who taught them to communicate with their higher self. With their higher self. And they would lead them to listening to their higher self, but in the process of leading them, they made a cult. They made a dogma. They made a religion. And that dogma and religion became that which was worshipped rather than listening within. Educators teach you to learn knowledge rather than to reveal knowledge. If educators could teach us how to reveal knowledge, they'd be doing us a great blessing. All of life is communication. Today, the cellular phone, the telephone, the cellular phone, the radio, the television. What's next? Only the mind can imagine it. Put a little chip in your head here and you have your telephone, your radio, you have your television, you have whatever things you might want to communicate with. And an instant translator for any language in the world, so you'd instantly understand them and they would understand you. Yes. To have everything means you have your divinity. You know how to listen within. You listen within, and then you share it outwardly. And you have so much to give that you are fed and clothed and housed and provided with everything the world has to offer, because you're fantastic. As I seek everything in life, I'll get it. When I start first with my inner self. You're wonderful.